Let's play a game. I'll say a phrase and you fill in the blank, okay? Looking out for number. It's all about who deserves a break today. Because blank worth it. Because you're worth it. I actually found a book entitled Looking Out for Number One. It's sick. It's all about you. Just make yourself happy. Now, what happens if you take a dry sponge and put a dry sponge in vinegar? It fills up with vinegar. What happens if you put a dry sponge in orange juice? It fills up with orange juice, right? So what happens when you put a follower of Jesus in a culture that says, me first? Well, the tendency, and I don't know if you've seen that, is the tendency is for the culture to begin to soak into your soul unless there are other forces at work. So we have to be careful. That's what we're looking at this morning. I can tell you a story about myself. I worked in construction for a while, and all but one of the guys I worked with chewed tobacco. So you know what else they did? They spit. Constantly. Just so you know, full disclosure, I did not chew. But what I began to do was spit. In fact, one of the guys said, Ken, you spit more than we do. Why? Because I was hanging out 8 to 10 hours a day with guys that were spitting all the time. Our tendency is to become like the people around us. Now, Scripture doesn't talk about spitting. It does. Jesus spit. So there. But have you seen that happen in your life? Like, maybe at work. Like, at home, with church people, you're fine. But when you're at work and you're working with people, if you found yourself, begin to act like everybody else. Well, that's just the way you got to be. Or maybe you've seen that as you raise your kids and you tell your kids, no, you can't go to that party. And well, Mom, the other families from church are going. And you're like, oh, well, maybe I should let them. And you begin to be like other people around you because it seems like everybody else is doing it that way. How should a disciple of Jesus respond in those situations? How should they respond to the pressure? Let's find out. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. That was a problem in that culture. Life would have been hard for Timothy. He wasn't technically in either camp, a Jew or a Greek. He was a reject in the view of that culture, and he was a disciple, a follower of Jesus. As the son of a Jewish woman and a Greek father, Timothy was a mumser. Mumser literally means blemished pedigree. Timothy's father didn't live with them. The rule that parents of a mumser couldn't live together. So Timothy's father was not in his life. Timothy was considered not a legitimate part of that community, and therefore he was not permitted to go to the temple courts. He would not have been circumcised on the eighth day to follow the covenant, And no respected Jewish rabbi would choose Timothy as a disciple. He would not have been accepted by any future father-in-law. In fact, he would be considered a mumser, and as would his descendants to the 10th generation. That was his situation. But like Timothy, you can still be a disciple. It doesn't matter what your past is. You can be a disciple. And so that's what we need to do, is be a disciple. So this morning, we're going to do some research, and we're going to go to a number of different passages to learn a little bit about this guy named Timothy. Going on in verse 2 of Acts 16, Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews in that area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew his father was a Greek. Paul did not do this to get Timothy in right standing with God. Because he was from a Jewish mother, he didn't want Timothy to be considered a bad Jew. When Paul would go from town to town, he would start at the Jewish synagogue and find and preach the good news, and then take those who would believe and form a church. And it would be hard to do that if Timothy wasn't circumcised. So he had him circumcised as an adult or a young man. And I am told that that is very painful. I worked with a man who went through that as an adult. He skipped a couple of days of work. And he walked very gently for a while after that. And so Timothy went through pain for other people. So be a disciple that will go through pain for others. That was Timothy. And you may say, well, that doesn't sound very fun. And you would be right. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and so you must follow in his steps." So, we are followers of Jesus. Jesus suffered. What does that mean that we will do? Suffer. We can talk about that all day long, but when it starts happening to you, we kind of swallow hard. Like, wait, what's wrong? Oh, yeah. We don't like going through suffering, especially for other people, right? I mean, it's bad enough if you have to suffer for something you did, but going through suffering for other people? And some of you, I'm preaching to the choir, because you're going through suffering. You've been through suffering. You can write a book on going through suffering. And so how do we do that? You humble yourself, serve a jerk, love an idiot, do what's uncomfortable, even when it's hard. In Paul's letter to 1 Timothy 1:3, he writes this, "When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus to stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth." So Timothy was a pastor, a leader in Ephesus. So be a disciple that speaks up for the truth. Speaks up for the truth. And this is biblical truth. This is not like, oh yeah, I saw somebody talking about this political person and I... It's not talking about political stuff. Talk about the truth, the good news. Speak up for the truth. It's so much easier to be in the silent majority than to speak up about biblical truth. You know, it's for everyone's good to speak up for the truth. People have something dumb in mind. Hey, let's go poke a sleeping bear. Right? It's a good thing when you say, no, that's not a good idea. And so when we see people who are living stuff that's not true, saying, well, you know, the Bible said God helps us who helps themselves, you would say, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And you would speak up for the truth. That's what disciples of Jesus do. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul writes this, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Fight well in the Lord's battles. It's just like hand-to-hand combat. What is this? What kind of fight is it? Well, if you keep reading, a couple of verses later is 1 Timothy 2:1-2. What kind of fighting is it? I urge you first of all, to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. Be a disciple that's a prayer warrior, battling for others in prayer. How do you find the courage to speak up for the truth? Because you're in prayer. How do you fight the Lord's battles? With the power that comes through prayer. There's a man who has written a lot on prayer in years gone by. His name is E.M. Bounds. How would you like to change the world? Wouldn't it be awesome to know that you change the world? How can you do that? E.M. Bounds says, God shapes the world by prayer. God shapes the world by prayer. And as we pray, things change. And the problem is, for us finite earthly people, we can't see those changes immediately. And so we think, well, what good is that? What good is that? We have no idea what our prayers are doing. We've got to believe that when we pray, things happen. There's another man who has written a lot on prayer and revival. His name is Leonard Ravenhill. And he said this, at the judgment seat, the most embarrassing thing the believer will face will be the smallness of his praying. I dare you to pray huge prayers that if you shared them out loud, people would laugh at you. I dare you. Just see what God does. And you may not see until you get to heaven. I have prayed for people in the next car that I don't even know. I don't know what happened. I know, I'm stupid. I just pray for people. And who knows what will happen? But we will find out one day. And Timothy was a man of prayer. And he prayed. He did battle. Haven't you seen video? Something terrible happening. You know, maybe somebody getting beat up, somebody getting robbed, and people just standing by. Just watching and not doing anything. That is what it's like when we live in this culture and we don't pray. God has given you a weapon. God has given you power in prayer, and we can change things by praying. Timothy did that. Paul writes in Philippians 2:19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Be a disciple that's interested in others. Paul said he takes a genuine interest. And I looked at that word. What does that mean? And genuine interest, the idea is, if you take that word and use it in a different context, it means to worry. And so it's kind of like Timothy is worried, concerned, has a genuine interest in other people's lives. He has a genuine interest in what's going on in everybody else's life. And that, we get so consumed with the things that are going on in our lives that we don't realize what everybody else is going through. About a month or so after Diane died, someone here said to me, I really like the way you're sharing your grief journey with us. It helps us as we grieve Diane's death too. And it was, I'm embarrassed to say, it was at that moment I go, oh, yeah, you guys are grieving Diane's death too, aren't you? I was so myopic and fixed on my own pain, I didn't realize that everybody else was grieving too. And it's like, and that's what happens. We can get so involved in our lives. Timothy had a genuine interest in other people's lives. He cared about other people. So how do we do that? We do that by slowing down, shifting into a different gear. Man, we like to rush through life at 100 miles an hour, but slow down and listen. A lot of times when people are sharing about a need, they don't share, I have this need, but it's something between the lines. You have to read between the lines and you go, oh, wait a minute. I sold insurance for a while. And the guy who trained me and I went to call on a guy in Elkhart. We were talking about, you know, how good our plan is. And he said, well, I'm not sure about that. He said, I don't really need life insurance. I said, I have some life insurance, but I'm well past the suicide rider. So if anything happens, I know what I'll do. Something like that. And I didn't catch that at first. And I got out to the car, and we're talking as we're driving to the next place. Wait a minute. Did he say what I thought he said? He said, what do you mean? It sounded like he was saying that if something happened to him medically, he would just kill himself. And he said, yeah, I think you're right. So I went back, and I was like, listen, I don't have a lot of money, but I know people. And here's my card, and that's my cell phone number, and you can call me. Don't kill yourself. We can help you. I don't know how. It would have been so easy to just go, and go on. We have to show genuine interest in other people's lives. Do you remember that verse that says, and Jesus hurried away to his next spot? Remember that verse? No, you know why? Because it's not there. Jesus never rushed anywhere. Jesus never hurried anywhere. I find that very convicting. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul writes this, that's why I have sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of how I follow Christ Jesus, just as I teach in all the churches wherever I go. We need to be a disciple that is faithful. Faithful. Timothy was faithful. In season and out of season, he was faithful. Timothy was there. And I was thinking about this. Notice there are probably more places on here because he was on journeys. But this is just a few of the places that Timothy went. Here's a map. Lystra is where he started out. That's where he's from. Ephesus, Corinth, and then we're going to look at Thessalonica next. And he didn't catch Southwest to go there. Often walking, that's a long place to walk and finding passage on a ship. Timothy was faithful all over the place. That speaks of character. How do you do that? How can you be faithful day in and day out? Here's a discipline that you can do, and it's simply every day to ask yourself this question. In heaven, when I get to heaven and look back on today, how will I wish then that I had lived today? How will I wish in heaven that I would live today? And it's that kind of thinking when you see our lives with eternity in mind, it changes our perspective. Timothy was faithful. We need to be faithful. 1 Thessalonians 3, starting in verse 2. And we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come. And they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Be a disciple that strengthens others. Be a disciple that strengthens others. There is strength in numbers. And so we need to come alongside others and strengthen each other. As I was studying this week and looking at these passages, I noticed something. See how others is on there multiple times? Here's the bottom line. Be a disciple that's all about serving others. Be a disciple that's all about serving others. Bottom line is, be a disciple that is all about serving other. Here's the amazing thing about Timothy. How was he viewed by others? Right? Everybody looked down on Timothy. But yet, what did he do? He focused on serving others. Isn't that amazing? You would tend to think somebody like Timothy, who's not treated well by the culture, would hide away in a corner and just keep to himself. But remember that map? That was the last thing he did. He went around serving other people. It was like he had this Teflon coating. And what other people thought of him slid right off. But yet, at the same time, there was another part of him that was velvet, right? And he cared for other people. And it is that combination of both Teflon and velvet that made Timothy the servant that he was in caring for other people. So, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask you to do something this morning that will probably make you uncomfortable. Normally when we pray, you bow your heads and close your eyes. But why are we here? We're here for each other's. We're here for each other, right? So here's what I want you to do. I think this is going to stretch you. While we pray, I want you to keep your eyes open and look around at everybody else. Because we are here for who? Each other. And as we pray, I'm going to invite you to just look around and pray for people that are here. So, it's going to be a little, we're going to pray with our eyes open. Oh, that's not even biblical. Let's try it, okay? See, it's hard for me. Heavenly Father, Lord, look at these amazing people. Thank you for them. Thank you for the way that you're working in lives, because as I look around, I know what's going on in different lives. Thank you for them. Now you look around at people and you pray for them now. Father, thank you that obedience sometimes makes us feel awkward. Father, thank you for this group of people that your Spirit lives in them. Now, Father, do amazing things in and through our lives to change this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.